Right, well, we're just getting ourselves organized here, but it's good to see you all. Shabbat Shalom to Beit HaMashiach, great to see you. Good to be here with my lovely wife, Sarah. We'd actually, before we start, really want to thank the congregation here. So many of you supported us and helped us on our day of our wedding, November the 11th last year. So we have a couple of photos to show you. We've got 4 hours worth of footage for those of you who want to show that afterwards. I'm sure Mark will appreciate that. But we'll just show you a couple of photos just to thank you. So next slide is coming up. There we go. So here's Lawrence doing a ceremony for us. And a big thank you to Lawrence and Luis for helping us with that. And to those who helped us set up the chuppah. It is very hard to do, okay? Don't try this at home. And here's a couple of people. Everyone was very well behaved, apart from one couple. No, we really appreciate Lawrence and Louise, even though they got up to some fun and games behind our backs. And we've got one more slide. There we are. And just really want to thank you all for your support and your love. You know, God has got a plan for this congregation, and He's had a plan for Sarah and I, and it's been a long journey of coming together. Mm-hmm. Beit HaMashiach had a key role in bringing Sarah down, but it was an answer to prayer that goes back many, many years. Mm-hmm. And so we had a seminar about a month ago where we shared our story in depth about seeing the answers to prayer in our lives, seeing God's faithfulness, and wanting to encourage others, wanting to encourage you that God is faithful to His promise. He does keep His word. He does fulfill it. Even when it seems like, where is the promise? He is at work in our lives. And so we got to share this message at a seminar last month.
We certainly did, on the 23rd of February, which happens to be my grandfather's 98th birthday, so I was down here when that was happening. But we did The Bridegroom Is Coming, and Enoch faithfully put together the outline, and all he had to do was hand me the microphone, and I got to speak my testimony that morning. So it was an amazing session in the morning, and in the afternoon we had Tony Hallow, who did a great renditions of different songs, old songs, new songs, sunrise, sunset, and just led us into worship, which was fantastic, and gave some of his testimony because he's got a Jewish background, which he was on the journey of discovering. So just as a little, if you want to catch up on what we've been doing and our testimony, we are selling them up the back if you'd like to purchase one. But just so you know, thank you so much for your support for the year that I've been down here. Without you guys, I wouldn't have had somewhere to safely land from Gold Coast, and with all your giving and support and love and prayers, I just want to say thank you very much.
So today's message I'd like to share with you, I've entitled The Door Is Opening, The Regathering of Israel from the Nations in Our Day. And so it's been something that's been brewing on my heart for a long time. It's been something that I've been praying about and researching. And I'd just like to share with you from a bit of a different perspective on the big picture of God's agenda. So our next slide, my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Nor are your ways my ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Have you ever been surprised by God? I've been surprised, absolutely surprised. Sarah was one of those surprises, an amazing surprise. Praise the Lord for it. God does the unexpected, and He does things differently. You can't put Him in a box. God has an agenda where He is at work in the nations. And there are multiple levels to that agenda. And I just want to bring out one of those levels today. On the next slide, we've got God reveals Himself to Abraham in pagan Ur. And He begins to talk to Abraham. And Abraham has a revelation of God, the one true God. Now, from a Christian perspective, if I was going to put on my church hat, I'd say, Abraham, now's the time for you to start a church. The first church of Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. But God didn't do that. God revealed Himself to Abraham, and He reveals the destiny and plan for Abraham. He calls him to go, to leave the country where he is. Get out of your country. Leave your family. Leave your father's house and go to a land I will show you. And as he does this, as he steps out, as he goes to another place, there he'll become the blessing he's called to be. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God's agenda was not for him to plant a church there. God's agenda was for him to go to a place, and in that place, he would become a blessing. We see the same in Egypt. The children of Israel were there, and we've got, of course, Charlton Heston shows up to bring them out. But the children of Israel were not called to plant a house church movement in Egypt. God did not say, I wanted to go and evangelize all the Egyptian people. No doubt he wanted his name known in Egypt, but he had an agenda regarding the people of Israel. And so he spoke to them, saying, I want you to go up. Go to a land flowing with milk and honey. There was resistance. There was a ruler standing against God's agenda. And God heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and he wanted to come and deliver them. You see, God is, I believe, at work on multiple levels. Yes, he wants all people saved, but he's also at work regarding the nation of Israel. And there's something regarding the land and the people of Israel that comes together into God's prophetic purposes for this nation. Moses predicted an exile. Moses warned in Leviticus 20:26 that when you get into the land, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you and I'll scatter you among the nations. I'll draw out a sword after you. Your land will be desolate and your cities waste. Exile was not a blessing. Exile was due to sin. But God was promising that yes, they would be scattered to the nations, but they would also be regathered because he had a purpose for the people in the land. You know, as believers, we are used to that we can come and worship God wherever. We can worship him at home, worship him at work, worship him in whatever country we find ourselves to be in. But there was a special place that God had ordained for the Jewish people. He called them to a land, and there they were to encounter the God of the land, and there they were to become a blessing to all nations. But as they stepped out from following God, they would be scattered away from that land. But thankfully, that is not the end of the story. Deuteronomy 28 predicts in detail the great exile. It says that the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And there you will serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And among those nations you will find no rest, nor will the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, oh, that it was evening. And at evening you shall say, oh, that it was morning, because of the fear which terrifies your heart and because of the sight which your eyes shall see. Right now, Sarah and I are reading a book about the Jewish people in Russia over the past century. And this was their story. Of going from place to place, or settling down for a while and then persecution would arise. And it's irrational. It doesn't make sense. Why go after Jewish people? Why were all these forces coming against them? The communists on the one side, the Nazis on the other side, the Orthodox Church on one side, Islam on the other side. No matter where they turned, people were coming against them. No matter where they went, they were hated and despised. It doesn't make sense. But going all the way back to the time of Moses, Moses predicted it would happen when the nation of Israel had turned away from the Lord. But that is not the end of the story. That is not the end. Aliyah fulfilled and finished. Some would say that the prophecies of the Bible about the Jewish people coming back to the land were all fulfilled at the time of the Babylonian exile and the Jews coming back then. But I don't believe that. I believe there is a greater return about to happen, and that is happening in our day. Isaiah 43, for example, says to the people of Israel, in the context of being scattered, in the context of persecution, saying to them, fear not, for I am with you. Even there in the exile, fear not, for I am with you. And I will bring your descendants from the east. I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. When they came from Babylon, they came from one direction back to the land of Israel. But here God was seeing further into the future and saying there's coming a day when they'll return from all the nations, from the four corners of the earth, and he will speak to those nations. He will say, bring my descendants back from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. And that was not fulfilled in return from Babylon. I believe it's being fulfilled in our day, in our time. Jeremiah 16:14 says that the days are coming that it will no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. I mean, that's an amazing statement, because today, every year at Passover, it's the biggest celebration on the Jewish calendar. It is the big feature, Moses, the Exodus. But there's coming a day when that story will be forgotten. Why? Because it will be said instead, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land which I gave to their fathers. In other words, there was a miracle that happened in the Exodus. It was amazing and stunning demonstration of God's power. But there's coming a day when there's a greater demonstration of his power coming, which will overshadow the original Exodus. 3 million people left Egypt at the time of the Exodus. Only a few hundred thousand left Babylon in the time of Ezra returning to the land. That did not overshadow the original Exodus. I believe there's a greater one coming. Let's just do a brief comparison of the modern Exodus to date and the original one. 3 million Jews left Egypt, and so far, since 1948, 3 million Jews have returned to Israel from all over the world. The numbers are pretty similar. The original Exodus from Egypt, nowadays from the four corners of the world. Original Exodus, you have Pharaoh resisting. The modern return has been resisted by many. One of them has been the Soviet Union that stubbornly held its Jews back, that did not want the Jews to leave. They said, why do you want to leave communist Russia? After all, communism is the best thing on the earth, and if you want to leave Russia, why? And so as the Jews were seeking to leave, they were then treated as traitors. Some were sent to Siberia, others lost their jobs, others lost their medication. They were intimidated by the KGB. People were coming after them, harassing them. This was what they faced by the thousands across Russia in the 1970s, 1980s. But people in the West, people in among the Christians were praying for them. The Jewish communities were also praying for them. I actually heard a story just yesterday of how there was an hour of prayer set apart in Jerusalem where Christians were praying for the Jews in Russia. And it turns out, without coordination, Jews in Russia were praying at that very same hour for their release. And so there was a cry arising from the Jews in Russia at the same time as a cry was arising from Christians in the West, praying for and interceding for the Jews who were in this situation. Yes, there was miracles in the original Exodus, and there's been some miracles happening in this modern-day return, but I don't believe it has overshadowed the original Exodus. So I believe there's a greater one yet to come. Jeremiah 32. Behold, I'll gather them out of all the countries where I've driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in my great wrath. I will bring them back to this place. See, again, there's an agenda regarding the people and the land. I will bring them back to this place. I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Do you see the sequence there? He's saying, I'm going to bring them back to the land. I'll cause them to dwell safely. And in the context of coming back to the land, again, they shall be known as my people, and I will be known as their God. Today, the word used to describe the return to the land is what's called aliyah, which means to go up to the land. But the biblical phrase most commonly used to describe going to the land is shuv, which means to return or repent. Because as they went out in sin. As they went out due to not following the Lord. But turning around and going back to the land is changing one's direction. And in a sense, it is the first beginning step of a returning and repenting. And so our desire, our prayer, is that as they are coming back to the land from all over the world, that it's not just about coming back to a land, but it's coming back to the God of the land. That it's not just a moving from one place to another, but it is moving from one level to another higher level, encountering the God of the land who loves his people. Ezekiel 36 is on the same topic. It says, I will take you from the nations. I will gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Notice the sequence there. I'll take you from the nations. I'll gather you from the countries. God is promising again and again what he will do for the Jewish people. He's not saying you deserved it, not saying you've been good enough, but he's saying I am going to do it because I remember my promises to Abraham. I will bring you back to the land, and then I will sprinkle clean water on you. Then I will change your hearts. Then I will turn you back to myself. The rebirth of Israel in our days was brought about as Jews came back from the world, from the four corners of the earth. Many of them were atheists. They did not believe in God, did not believe in his power, did not believe in the scriptures. Yet they were fulfilling the very words that were written down over 2,000 years ago. But as they've been coming back to the land, there is a change happening. Hearts are opening, doors are opening. And the Lord has promised that then I will sprinkle clean water on you. Then I will cleanse you from your filthiness. Then I will put a new heart within you and a new spirit within you. Then I will. He will. But it's not just about Israel. It's not just about God working with them. It's a sign to the nations. Ezekiel 36:36 says, then the nations which are left all around you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places of Israel. I have planted what was desolate in the land of Israel. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, of praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth who will hear all the good that I do to them. Israel is a sign to the nations. It's on the news at least every week. People see it on their news. They don't necessarily understand the sign, but it's right there before their eyes. They are back in the land. The only people on the earth who've ever been scattered and regathered, because God is faithful to his word. The purpose of scattering, when the Romans scattered the Jewish people, the goal was to destroy them. The goal was to make sure they would never be heard of on the planet earth again. The goal was that as they move away from the land, they'll forget their language. They'll intermarry. And they'll disappear among the nations of the earth. But God said, I'm going to bring you back to the land. In other words, he was going to keep their identity down through the centuries. And that's what he did. No other people have managed to do this but the Jewish people. Ultimately, it's God himself who has kept them. Against all odds, against all the persecution they faced, against all the hatred that came against them, he has kept his people. He is able to keep you and I. Through the challenges we go through, he's able to keep you and I. Through those little things that we face, he who has kept the Jewish people for 1900 years of scattering, he can keep you and I. And make sure we get to the promised land he has for us. Make sure we get to the destiny and destination he has on our lives. Sometimes we're afraid that we're going to miss out on the promised land, miss out on the promises God has for us. But God is bringing the Jewish people back despite their unbelief, despite their failures, despite their mistakes. And he can do the same in our lives too. Even in our story of Sarah and I of getting married, we had promises from God many years ago. But we weren't perfect champions of the faith all the way through. There were times when we doubted, there were times when we made mistakes. Yet God was faithful and brought us into the promised land in this area. It's the same regarding Israel, it's the same regarding you. He will bring you into the land he has for you. He'll bring you into those promises. He says, I will do this for the people of Israel. He says to you today, I will bring you to the land I have for you. I will open the doors for you. I will keep my word. I will keep my promises. And it is for his glory. It is for his honor. What he's doing among the Jewish people is for his honor among the nations. What he's doing in our lives is for his honor. Then the nations will know that I am God. God's agenda throughout history has been that the nations will know that he is God. And so he's chosen the people, the Jewish people. He's chosen the land of Israel, to be a sign and a wonder to the nations. And so he's bringing them back to this place that the nations will know that he keeps his word. That he is the God who predicts the future and keeps his word from the beginning. Amen. All right. I thought you had all gone to sleep. Just had to check. Ezekiel 36, Israel will know. I will increase their men like a flock. The ruined cities will be filled with flocks of men, and then they shall know that I am the Lord. God is promising not only will the regathering of Israel be a sign to the nations, it's going to be a sign to Israel itself. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. When I have brought them back from the peoples, when I have gathered them out of their enemies' lands, when I am hallowed in them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive anymore. And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel. What a promise. What a promise. He's going to pour out his spirit on the house of Israel. He's not going to hide himself from them anymore. But the context is when they're returning to the land, they shall know I am God and I shall pour out my spirit upon them. We have seen the first fruits of this in the return of the Jewish people from Russia, for example. In 1990-1991, as the Berlin Wall fell, as the Soviet Union collapsed, 1 million Jews left Russia and came to Israel. Many, many, many of them were helped by Christian organizations. Christians had had dreams and visions of this in the years leading up to it, in the 10, 20, 30 years leading up to the fall of the Berlin Wall. I know the story of a paraplegic boy in the US who heard of the plight of Jews. Now he was stuck to his wheelchair. He couldn't move anything but his head. But his parents would come to him and find him drenched in sweat from head to toe. They wondered what's going on. He had been interceding for the Jewish people in Russia to the point of sweat covering his whole body. The nations were praying for the Jews of Russia. And as they started to return and as they came to the land, so many of them have also encountered the God of the land and have become the backbone of new congregations throughout the land of Israel. But at the same, very same time as many of these Russian Jews have come to the land and as some of them have encountered the God of the land, so in Russia there's been the beginning of a revival. A speaker named Steve Lytle has traveled a lot into Russia. And when he goes to the churches there, he'll always ask people, how many of you became believers from 1991 onwards? And he'll see the hands go up across the congregation. 90% or more will put their hands in the air. And as he's traveled throughout Russia, he has seen that at the very same time that the Jews were being regathered from that land, so there was a revival that broke out in the land of Russia. The Jews and the Gentiles were knowing that he is God at the time when God was moving and bringing his people back. Like Abraham, there was a blessing on the nation of Russia as the people of Israel followed his call back to the land. Abraham was called to go to the land and from there become a blessing to the nations. And as the Jewish people were returning to Israel at that time, there was a blessing being poured out on the Russian church. I believe God is bringing his people home to show in our day, to show Israel that he is God, to show the Gentile nations that he is God, to prepare the way of the Messiah. Matthew 23, I say to you, you'll say no more, you'll see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There is coming a day when Israel will welcome him back. But first they have to be back in the land. And so there is a prophetic preparation for his return that's been happening over the past 100 years and has been accelerating in our day. Isaiah 49:22 talks about the role of Gentiles in this, the role of believers in God who are non-Jewish. Isaiah 49:22, I'll lift my hand in an oath to the nations, says the Lord, I'll set up my standard for the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms. Your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Carried where? Carried back to the land. Then you, Israel, will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. I've got a friend who went to Russia and was volunteering there to help regarding Alia. And she was sent to a train station in Moscow about 1 a.m. at night. She's from Queensland, so she's used to nice warm weather. And it was anything but at the Moscow train station. She gets there and the wind is howling down the platform. She's cold, she's shivering. But finally the train arrives and there's a Russian Jewish family who have come. They have traveled for many hours on a train that night, and the next day they're flying off to Israel. And in the family is their grandmother, who's in her late 90s. And so she's struggling to get down the train, down the tall steps of the train, down to the platform. So my friend, who's a paramedic, and she's quite strong, don't get in her way, she saw the grandmother struggling, and so she came over and picked her up on the shoulders and carried her down the steps. And then she remembered a scripture about your daughters shall be carried on the shoulders of Gentiles. That she was literally doing this at that time, being a sign to the Jewish people that their God is faithful, that he keeps his word, he keeps his promises. It says, then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Israel has waited. They have waited and longed for that day. They said, next year in Jerusalem, so many times, so many years. But that day has started to come to Jewish communities around the world. And so Christians have been involved in helping. Today, 23% of all Jews worldwide who return to the land are being helped by just one Christian organization called Ebenezer. Now, there are many other Christian organizations also involved. So the total percentage is quite high. It's amazing. It is a sign to the Jewish people. Some of them are saying that we've experienced so much hatred in our lives from non-Jews. How come you're doing this? And so we get an opportunity to point to the scriptures, point to the word of God. What about Australia? All right. This is where it gets a bit hot. Isaiah 11:11 talks about the Jewish people returning a second time, not just from Babylon, but from the nations of the earth, including the islands of the sea. I think Australia is an island of the sea. Isaiah 43:5 talks about them coming back from the west. And I believe it will be a sign, even to the nation of Australia, what God wants to do in the Jewish community in our midst. Australia and rising anti-Semitism. Now, we heard of New Zealand and the terrible incident there just now with the attack where white supremacists. And there's been a rise of white supremacy here in Australia over the past couple of years. There's been a 60% increase in anti-Semitic incidents here in Australia in the past year. It's the largest increase on record. Those responsible for that is a neo-Nazi group called the Antipodean Resistance, which was started here in Melbourne 2 years ago. We're responsible for 133 incidents last year. And this is one of their posters they've been putting up in different areas. At the same time, there's the anti-Israel left-wing groups, there's the Islamic groups. The threats are on every side for the Jewish community. Community leaders have described it as a tsunami of hatred coming against them just in the last few weeks in this area. Some of you may have seen this sticker, a neo-Nazi sticker that was placed on the Emmy Monash Aged Care Centre here in Caulfield just a few weeks ago. Here, the Holocaust survivors live in this place, and these guys are coming after them, putting up stickers. It is intimidating. There was a far-right march at the same time, which was on the 100-year anniversary of the founding of the German Workers' Party, which became the Nazi Party. That was here in St Kilda, just down the road. There was sort of the evil rising and manifesting itself here. And given what we've seen in New Zealand, we know that people can go along with this propaganda and end up going against the Jewish people. I believe that what happened there is a wake-up call. And yes, we need to pray for the Muslim community, we need to pray for their protection. At the same time, there is also a need to continue to pray for our Jewish community here, because people are very actively inspired by this ideology and are seeking to spread it right here in this community. So let's pray for our community, pray for protection upon them, pray for God's hand of protection upon his people at this time. In the very midst of this, just as this neo-Nazi march was happening, Sarah and I were listening to a recording talking about the story of the return of the Jewish people from Russia. We were getting so inspired, and we've set up an office in Elsternwick. So it's an office for the web design work. Sarah, you want to share a bit as well on that? Yeah, all right, come Sarah.
So soon after we got married, well, around the time before getting married, Enoch was considering moving out of the home, his office, because it's been in his home for over a decade. And to help with contentions in the home, move the office out. So we started praying and looking around, and we had a look around in Glen Eira here and looking at different places. And we found this office in Elsternwick. And when we were praying about it, Enoch, because it's his business and finances are, in a sense, his responsibility of the business, it was one of those steps that if we took, it would mean a leap of faith, because the offices aren't that cheap. And especially in Elsternwick, they're not at all cheap. And so we were praying, and we were driving down to Phillip Island, funnily enough, for the Simcha. And we were driving down, and I felt to read Psalm 102. And in it, it says, for the Lord shall be hallowed, for now is the time. And it just, those two phrases just stood out. And it was just like God was saying, now is the time, because he's going to be hallowed in the sight of Jewish people as well as Gentile people. And so I felt the Lord say, get it. But then I felt not to say anything. So I had to wait until Enoch went through the process with the Lord of actually saying, Lord, is this what you want? So we finally applied for it, and we got accepted, and on January 15th, we were officially in. But the very week we got in, we had two applications, for Alia, the very week we're moving into the office. So I had to postpone the appointment of another desk coming in. Thankfully, you guys have been downsizing your office, and so Mark rings me up and says, do you need another desk? And so I was like, yes, we need one for Ebenezer, so that if we have a volunteer, we have someone there to help. And so through the help of Paul, we arranged Wednesday afternoon, because we had an earlier appointment Wednesday morning. So that was our first appointment within 3 days of opening up officially the office.
So it was a faith step, but we had a sense that this was the time. And so as we stepped out, yes, the finances were tight, and really the budget, it was on shaky ground. But as we stepped out, money began to come in to support what was happening. And one of our goals with this office is for it not just to be for the computer work that we're doing, and not just for Shalom Israel, where we're creating resources and duplicating it, but also to be a contact point where we can meet the Jewish community in our area. Our feeling was that there would be a time when there will be an increased flow of people coming from Australia returning to the land. And we wanted to be there in the midst of their community, be available to help and support, but ultimately give them a vision for the destiny, give them a vision for the reason why. Because some Jewish people have gone to the land with no real sense of an understanding of God's purpose. So they go there maybe for a better life, and then it's hard there, so they go somewhere else. But there are others who have had a sense of destiny. They've understood that there is a promise God has given to their forefathers. And so they've gone there searching for that destiny. And they've been able then to persevere through the challenges and hardships. So our goal then is to build connections with the Jewish community from this office. And as Sarah said, straight away we began to have inquiries. And we got the keys at the very same time as a neo-Nazi march was happening down the road. So there was the bad things were happening at the very same time as God was beginning to open up a door. Over the last few years, we've had the privilege of seeing Jewish people begin to come to us asking for help. And in the 20 years before that, we've helped Jewish people in Russia, in other places, we've been praying for them, and we've seen them come back to the land, seen them come back to the Lord. But just in the last few years, they've begun coming to us, to our Christian organization here in Australia, saying, we heard that you helped our friends overseas, can you help us here? We've been praying for years that this day would come. We've been praying for years that God would give us the favor and the connections. And that's exactly what's beginning to happen. Our goal is to fill the gaps left after the aid programs that are available from the Israeli government via the Jewish Agency. So our help includes practical assistance. For example, if you are selling up and going to Israel, how do you get to the airport? You can't put your car in a long-term car park. That doesn't work. So we can help in practical ways like that. Encouragement, give a sense of destiny. Financial assistance. And so my question to you today is, will you pray with us for their return? Ultimately to their return to the God of the land of Israel. Next slide. What about believers? Question mark. You have, for those of you who are believers here who have a Jewish background, obviously you have to know in your own heart what God is saying to you. It's a decision for you to know, is God saying something to you? Is he not saying it? That is for you to hear yourself. But I believe that God is beginning to bring back believers to the land as well in increasing number, because there has to be people there who can be a witness and a sign to those around them. There is coming a day when Israel will call out to the Lord, when Israel will cry out for his help. But how shall they call out to him unless they have heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God is calling for people to go back to the land and to be that light, be that blessing to their neighbors, so they will know who to call out to in difficult times. I do know personally of couples who have wanted to return to the land and the door is shut in their face. As believers, it's not easy to return back and your application may be rejected on various grounds. One couple that I know have not been able to return, and so they go and visit as often as they can. They love to be in the land. They sense a call and a destiny, but they can't live there because of the existing government policies. There are some who are getting in via cracks in the door, but so many are experiencing a shut door. And so this is something that we've been praying into for a while, and I believe many believers have been praying as well. They said, God, I sense a call to go, but the door is shut in my face. I believe God is again hearing the cry of his people. Like he heard in Egypt the cry of the people under Pharaoh and how he began to move to open up the door. How he heard the cry in Russia when the Soviet Union was oppressing its people, not letting them go, and how God began to open up a door and tore down the Berlin Wall. So I believe there is another door that is about to open, and that door, I believe, is for those who are believers. Right now, the door is shut, mostly. Some are able to go, but many cannot. So right now, there is some news about a group of high-level people in media, high-level lawyers, who are working together to lobby the Israeli government for a change in this area. They are successfully meeting with key leaders in the Jewish Immigration Agency and are having conversations with them. And after the conversation, one of the top leaders dealing with immigration said to his staff in the presence of the lobby group, saying that we need to consider changing this policy. That is momentous, because so far the door has been slammed shut. Through court case after court case, the door has been shut. There is not a red mat welcoming believers back to the land. But now there is the beginning of a change happening. The Jerusalem Post has been advocating for one particular lady who has come from a believing background and who is also Jewish and who is not able to return to the land because of her background as a believer. So the Jerusalem Post have taken up her story, began advocating for her. And so there is a shift happening in Israel today. I believe the door is about to open. But there is a time to pray, though, because we need to continue to pray for favour, that the policy will change, and in particular now for the upcoming Israeli elections happening in April, May, for the Orthodox Party, which has always held the interior ministry. It would be great if they were shifted out of that role. And so believers in the land who are involved with this are asking us to pray that there will be a change regarding the Israeli government in terms of who controls that ministry. And like the exodus of Egypt, we have to be ready for the doors to open up, for it to be a time when the doors are shut like with Pharaoh. But one day, the day came when the doors were open and Israel had to be ready to go out through those doors. Same with Russia, the doors open up and the people of Israel are ready to go. So there's coming a day when the doors are going to open up. And let's pray for that day and be ready for that day. Praying for Melbourne's Jews. Let's pray also for the community here to be stirred up regarding returning to the land. I mean, it's a huge sacrifice to leave the comforts of Australia to go to the land. It really has to be a sense of divine call. But we are seeing Jewish people who are having this call. And so we are praying for favour with the Jewish community leaders and individuals, for doors to open up, and ultimately that as they return to the land, that they will encounter the God of the land. Would you like to pray with us? Can we stand together and pray? So Lord, we thank you for your plan and your purpose for the Jewish people, a nation chosen in a special way, the destiny and plans you have for them, Lord. And yes, they have been scattered to the nations, but I thank you that you are faithful in bringing them back to the land. You are faithful in keeping your promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God of Israel who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I thank you that even right now at this time, you are calling your people home from the four corners of the world to welcome back the Messiah when he comes. And so we do pray that call will continue to go forth, that the Jewish community even here in Australia will hear that call and will go as you lead them. But we commit also to you, Lord, this whole topic of Aliyah for those who are believers, Lord.
Father, I just thank you. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for believers, both Gentile and Jew. I just pray, Father, that you would touch their hearts. Lord, that you would cause them to hear your voice. Lord, that you would open the eyes, open the ears of everyone who believes in you, Father. Lord, and whatever role you have them play, Father, in bringing believers and Jewish people alike back home to Israel. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts. Touch their hearts to move as you would cause them to move, only to step in the way that you want them to step. Guard their foot as they step out in faith in what you've called them to do. Lord, I just pray that you would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Lord, that there'd be reconciliation, that, Father, they would see you as Father. Yes. They would see you as not lost children out in different countries, but Father, they would see you as a Father that is drawing them back, his children drawing them back. In Yeshua's name.
So we agree with that prayer, Lord. And I say, Lord, continue to call your people back. And we, Lord, ask you for favor, Lord, in the Israeli elections, Lord, for the right parties to get in, Lord. We look to you, Lord, for a turning around. We look to you for a turning around regarding this door that has been locked for believers who are called to return and they feel the door is shut in their face. We look to you for that door to open up, for the hindrances to be removed, for the door to be wide open, for them to be able to return as they are called, as they feel to go. And so I thank you, Lord, for the changes that are happening. And we look to you for continued favor, protection, Lord, from those who try to slam the door shut again. We look to you for favor that the door is open in order that there can be a strengthening of the presence of believers in the land who can be a light and a blessing to the people around them. So we thank you for what you are doing in the nation of Israel, the destiny and call you have in the nation of Israel. We speak your blessing upon her even this day, your blessing upon her in the name of Jesus. And pray for your protection on the Jewish community here, Lord, from anti-Semitic attacks, Lord. We just speak your peace to their hearts, Lord, in the midst of it, Lord, that they will know that you are God, you do not forsake them, you keep your promises, and you've got a plan and a destiny for them. We thank you, Lord, for the Jewish community right here in our midst, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we pray. Amen.